Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer here at the greatest stadium ever built. By the way, that phrase got me kicked off of the board of the Rose Bowl, but it was worth it because SoFi Stadium is the greatest stadium ever built, and it's the greatest place to do a podcast. That's why I'm able to attract the greatest guests, Rebecca Whitman. She's an amazing coach. She is a coach of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast, and she's empowering especially women to find their light, their love, and their finest and highest self. Rebecca, welcome to the Playbook.
Thank you so much for having me, David. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, this has been a long time coming. There's certain people in my life that I've wanted to have on the Playbook that wanted to do content, but a lot of those people are so active helping other people. They're so active doing other things that, not that my schedule isn't active, it's difficult to find the time.
Yeah.
And as one of the leading coaches, authors, podcasters in the world, your time must be extremely efficient the way that you use it. And so as an Ivy Leaguer, as a pragmatic person, but mostly one of the best coaches in the world, to be balanced, you need to understand time.
Yes.
To be abundant, you need to understand time. Not so sure how the beautiful part comes into time, but I wanted to focus in on those two variables and the consistency of how do you teach time so people can be abundant and can be balanced?
I teach time and it's abstract. So we get to make it work for us. And I'm all about time blocking. So I teach to have multiple streams of income. And remember, David, when we were in school, we had four
Barely.
Or five subjects, right?
I tried to block it out, to be honest.
Exactly.
That's because I went to law school.
Right. I know. Really good law school. Too late. So math, science, English, and history. We were able to do four subjects, attend classes, have homework, take exams in four areas. So when I teach multiple streams of income, it's all about time blocking and just knowing which business you're working on when and putting that in your calendar and also to schedule breaks. So I'm a huge teacher of the Pomodoro method, 25 minutes of focused work and a 5-minute mental health break.
I love it. And time is my love language. So you're speaking my love language. Beyond time, though, in abundance, a lot of people think of abundance as giving.
Yeah.
But you have a different perspective when it comes to abundance. And I always say it's a combination of wisdom and faith that creates the belief that there's more than enough. How important is it, especially for women, to feel worthy of receiving, which is a critical component or capability of being abundant?
So women's limiting belief is I'm not good enough. And that is the opposite of receiving. Because if a woman has a limiting belief, I'm not good enough, she won't be open to receiving the abundance of the universe. So I work with all people, but especially women with affirmations. And there's four, I like to teach the four A's of transformation. The first A is the awareness. I have a limiting belief. I'm not good enough. The second A is acceptance. I'm not going to judge myself. I have this limiting belief. The third A is action. What action can I take that would allow me to receive more? Can I make one more phone call? Can I attend one more meeting? Can I go to a David Meltzer mastermind? And the fourth A is affirmation. So what affirmation is the opposite of I'm not good enough? I am enough. I have enough. I am willing to set myself free.
And I grew up with a single mom who has a PhD in education, raised six kids, worked two jobs, and was someone that I wish would have known you when she was a young woman, to be empowered to utilize her incredible capability. She's still my greatest mentor and my greatest hero. And I'm blessed because not only is she one of those women in my life, but my wife also is incredible. In fact, I was with Guy Kawasaki yesterday, the CMO of Apple, and now he's the chief evangelist for Canva. And he said something that was so amazing. He said, behind every man is an amazing woman. And then he added something, but it's that behind every man is also an amazed woman. She's amazed that a man that she's with is actually as successful as they are. And it really resonated with me because behind me is this amazing mom. And I still think she's amazed that her son, the idiot, is doing what he's doing. And especially my wife, amazing woman, and just amazed that I'm able and capable of doing. And I think it's interesting because the only difference between me and my mom and me and my wife is that self-image. Mm-hmm. I was poured into by my wife and my mom. They're catalysts, but I don't see them acting upon the catalytic empowerment that they give my children, me, her children, and her grandchildren, if she only would use it on herself. Yeah. Why is it that the most empowering individuals sometimes don't empower themselves?
Well, I think especially women, women are so used to putting everyone else first. They're natural born pleasers. So they are the best wife, the best mom, the best worker, the best friend, but they deplete themselves. And that is my mission, is to help women learn how to fill their own cup up first, do things that give them joy. I like to say that self-care isn't selfish. So when they are filled with love and joy and abundance, they can actually give from the overflow and not burn out. A lot of women burn out because they are such givers, like your mom and your wife.
And I think too, in that pleasing aspect, in the separation that occurs from worrying about what other people think, but also pleasing other people before we take care of ourselves, is this zero sum game that we're constantly giving more and receiving less. Mm-hmm. And I, fortunately and unfortunately, am very pragmatic, or a mathematical, physical, physics, quantum physics person. And the math never made sense to me, that giving 100% and getting back less would equal anything but zero.
As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook.
I find that a lot of people, especially women, can't understand the self-care part of things, and they end up physically, spiritually, emotionally, and economically with nothing, because with all of those different realms, they're playing a zero-sum game. You see this more than anyone. You have one of the top podcasts in the world to help empower people to not live in the zero-sum game, but to live in abundance. What are some of the first steps that anyone, especially women, should take in reprioritizing themselves? You block time 25 and 5, which I completely align with, and everyone has their own methodologies. But what and where can they start to start elevating the awareness, step one, to wait a second, I'm not taking care of myself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually?
Well, I teach that there are 7 key areas of life. I call them my 7 pillars of abundance, and they are spirituality, fitness, emotions, romance, mental, social, and financial. So when a woman is looking at her day, I tell her to, or a man, I tell them to prioritize having a morning practice and to connect with the divine in the morning. Most important thing is to set up your day for success. I'm a huge believer in journaling, prayer, meditation. So that is the first way to fill yourself up first. The second way is to plan your day around your exercise. A lot of women just postpone it. They wear their workout clothes all day, but they never go to the gym. So I would tell them to work out first thing in the morning. And then once they're filled up from their morning practice and their workout, then they are in an abundance mentality. And then the next pillar is emotional. all facts are based on scarcity or abundance. So if they're thinking, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough love, I don't have enough whatever it is, friends, they're in scarcity and they want to flip that to abundance. And the fastest way to do that is through a gratitude practice. And I know you're a big teacher of that, saying thank you every morning, thank you every night. So what can I be grateful for right now? Because we all have so much in every moment. If we just stop and take a breath, what am I grateful for right now that will flip you from scarcity to abundance or have an affirmation?
And one of the things I love is the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do. And I've re-engineered that statement to the simple things to do are simple to do one time, but they're not simple to do consistently. And I think that was the nuance that I found between that. The consistency component of it is, to me, the most important. You're a time person. Mm-hmm. You have frameworks to teach people, to teach people, and to teach people. But it requires them to do the work consistently.
Yes.
And one of the hardest parts about being a coach is that you sometimes want it more than the person that you're coaching, mentoring, or teaching. How do you help with that simple thing to make it simple not to do by being consistent?
I think consistency is definitely one of my superpowers, and I'm a big believer in habit stacking. So if there's something you do every single day, no matter what, like most people drink coffee or tea every morning, habit stack something with that. So after you make your coffee or tea, then do your journaling and your morning practice. After you do that, get your water bottle filled up for the gym and then go work out. So if you habit stack, that really helps with your consistency. Also having an accountability buddy, whether it's a coach or a friend or a trainer or even like an app like ClassPass, having some kind of accountability helps with consistency. And also saying things publicly, like in a Facebook group or on your wall, you know, I'm doing a 21-day challenge, or I'm going to meditate every day for 21 days, or I'm going to go to the gym every day. Being public about your habit also creates consistency.
Which is why probably one of the most frightening things in my life was when I decided to tell people that my mission of my life was to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. It carried a lot of weight. So I understand that. One of the 7 pillars that you mentioned was surprising to me. And I'm curious why it is a pillar, which is romance. Every other one is very common.
Yeah.
Right. We all teach and empower people. And I can go through my values and gratitude you would teach, and forgiveness you would teach, and accountability you would teach, inspiration or effective communication are all inherently phrased and utilized and empowered in different manners. But very rarely, including in my own teachings, have I ever mentioned romance?
Yeah.
And it's one of your 7 pillars.
It is.
Why is that so important as a pillar?
It is so important because romance is not only your relationship with your partner, but your relationship with being on this planet. If you're alone, you can have a romantic relationship with just going out to dinner, enjoying the taste of the food, enjoying the ambiance, taking a hike. Romance is what makes life magical, mystical, and joyful. And if you're just so focused on your routine and your habits and making money, I don't want life to pass anyone by and for them to be 90 on their deathbed and be like, no, you know what? I have plenty of money and I got plenty of stuff, but I miss the romance of life, the beauty and the joy and the whimsical nature of just being a human on the planet.
I absolutely love that. And it's rare that I find some nuance or something new that I'm going to incorporate not only into the teachings that I have and publicly articulating, but that's genius. I'm going to incorporate it and be more intentional in my own life to be romantic. It reminds me of Bob Parsons, who's the founder of GoDaddy. He exited for over $4 billion personally. And he said, the secret to life, to get the secrets of life, is to enjoy what you do, to love what you do, but also to learn to love what you don't like and learn to love what you don't love. In other words, having a romance, not only with what you are already romantically inclined to have, it may be your intimate partner, what passions you have for me, you know, it's my family and football, you know, 2 natural passions and romantic relationships I have, but to be able to romance the things that we don't love and we don't like, or other people don't love or like, creates an appreciation. To that measure, one of the difficulties in having a podcast, in coaching and mentoring so many people in this abundant, balanced, and beautiful aspect of what you do, is a quantitative component, meaning that this is still a business. And that if we don't create a business around it, we can't fuel the fire and we can't empower and fuel the community. So for you, how challenging was it to create the financial support and the financial value of doing what you do, which obviously a lot of people haven't been able to do?
Yeah, it's been really challenging. And I like to tell people that you get to change your relationship with failure, because a lot of people don't go for starting a business because they have a fear of failure. And I definitely did. I'm a recovering perfectionist. If I could do everything great, I don't even want to try. And there's been a lot of ups and downs and webinars and lives where no one showed up. And then, you know, oh my God, I would walk out of the room and tell my husband, Ben, you know, I'm not cut out for this. This is too hard. And I wanted to quit a million and one times, but I want to change my relationship with failure, where there is no failure. I either win or I learn. And every little bump and every little, you know, peak and valley on this road of becoming a successful coach has taught me so much, and it sculpted my soul. And I know we talked about humility. I really believe that God loves me humble. And the only way to fail in anything is to give up. And persistence is one of my superpowers. I just keep going and keep learning, and I get humble, but I just dust my, you know, butt off, and I keep getting back on the horse and I ride again.
Of course. And to finish up, what you empower people with is purpose. You give them for the sake of what? And that purpose has to be greater than our pain, or we won't be consistent and we will quit. And most of the people don't get to where they want to be or better because they feel punished. They feel that the pain is greater than a purpose. And sometimes they're not even asking themselves, for the sake of what, am I doing this? How do you help to infuse purpose into people's lives?
Purpose is so important. So you want to have a why that gets you up in the morning, something that excites you. A lot of people, their why is for their family. You know, I want to provide for my family. I want to create generational wealth. A lot of people's why is to prove someone wrong. You know, somebody in high school said I was never going to amount to anything. I'm going to prove them wrong. My why is just helping people. Like I don't have biological kids. My legacy is not going to be my genes. So it's going to be the ripple effect. So how many people can I affect while I'm here? That's going to be my legacy. And that's the why that gets me up every morning, is knowing that time is limited here. We're only promised today. We never know if we're going to wake up the next day. So how many people can I touch and affect each day is my why. So whatever your why is, get a why that makes you cry, that will cause you, you know, give you that persistence that we're talking about to keep going, because business does have a lot of ups and downs. It is a roller coaster.
Life is a roller coaster. And if we want to learn the divine, how to have a divine direction with an understanding the divine detours to protect, promote, and love, as well as in divine time, it's some of the world's leading coaches, mentors, and teachers like Rebecca Whitman that are empowering us. One of my 1,000 is to empower 1,000, to empower 1,000, with over 1 billion people on earth living beautiful, abundant, and balanced existences. And that's what she does with her podcast, her books, and her coaching program. If you want to live in harmony, you need to surround yourself with the right people and the right ideas. Rebecca Whitman is that type of person. That's why we have her here at the greatest stadium ever built with me, Dave Meltzer, here on Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.